not sure about you, but I've always struggled with feelings of inadequacy, feeling not good enough. I just got a new job last year, which was awesome, was excited, but also I was nervous, I was scared. And those familiar questions and doubts came to my mind, like, what if I'm not the right person for the job? What if I make a mistake? What if I am not good enough? And we're doing a series right now, Jesus in Jeans, the relatable and imitatable Son of God. We're called to be like Jesus. And that idea of being like Jesus can also be scary. This is a Jesus we're talking about. I'm not God. I can never measure up to Jesus. And in those times of feeling discouraged and inadequate, I always go to one of my favorite verses in the Bible, which is from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, which says, His divine power, that's God's divine power, has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and His goodness. This is a reminder to me that God has given me, you, all of us, everything we need to accomplish His mission and His calling for us. And even if we feel we're not good enough, God is good enough. And He has given us everything we need for His purpose and in His time. And this is what I believe God wants us to know today. God gives to us what He gave to Jesus. God gave Jesus everything He needed to accomplish His mission and purpose. And just like that, God gives us everything we need. And like Pastor Victor mentioned last week in his sermon, just like Jesus made disciples, that was His mission and calling, we are now called to make disciples of all nations for the glory of God. And today we're going to a passage, a story of Jesus in Luke 5, to look at the gifts God gave to Jesus. And we're going to look at four gifts: the Holy Spirit, Scripture, community, and prayer. And we're going to see how those gifts are also given to us. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Luke chapter 5, starting verse 11. Hear the word of the Lord. So they, that's the disciples of Jesus, this is right when Jesus called His 12 disciples. After they heard Jesus call, verse 11, they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed Him. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged Him, Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean. Jesus reached out His hand and touched the man. I am willing, He said. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left Him. Then Jesus ordered him, Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet the news about Him spread all the more so that the crowds of people came to hear Him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray right now. Lord God, revealed in Jesus our King and Messiah, thank You, Lord, for sending Jesus to be our Savior and also to be our example, the one we look to. Thank You that You've given us Your Holy Spirit to empower us to become like Jesus, and to fulfill Your calling, to proclaim Your good news to all creation, and to make disciples. This is a hard task it feels sometimes, Lord. Give us encouragement today, give us hope, and also wisdom how to live up to this, to be like You, Jesus. Help us. And may You give me the words today for Your good grace. We pray all this, and we thank You for giving us what we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's look at the four gifts God gave to us. And again, God gives to us what He gave to Jesus. The first is the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is probably the most important. The Gospel of Luke shows how deeply connected Jesus and the Holy Spirit was. In Luke chapter 1, it says that Jesus was born through the Holy Spirit. Then in chapter three, Jesus was baptized, and the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. And then chapter four, Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and the Holy Spirit led him there and sustained him through it to overcome temptation. And then Jesus preached a sermon in a synagogue of his hometown, and he says this in chapter 4, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery for sight of the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus knew his mission and was empowered to do his mission. And in Luke 5, we see Jesus completing his mission through and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, in case you don't know, the Holy Spirit is one person in the Trinity. We believe that God is one. He's one God, but he's also three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in the Old Testament, before Jesus came, the Father God would send the Holy Spirit to certain people in order to accomplish certain tasks. One famous example is a guy named Samson, probably the strongest man in the whole Bible. When Samson got in trouble, or God gave him a specific task, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon him to fill Samson with this incredible physical strength in order to complete that task. Now, in a similar way, Jesus came to fulfill the ultimate task, to proclaim salvation to all humanity and to all creation, and also to make disciples who make disciples that participate in that mission. And to complete this mission, God gave him the Holy Spirit. But different than the Old Testament and Samson, the Holy Spirit never left Jesus. Jesus was actually one with the Holy Spirit. And that means they were always connected, always together. And Jesus continually depended on the Holy Spirit for his mission, for strength, for direction. And what's beautiful is that now, followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, we too can have this intimate connection with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in John 3, verse 5, that those who are Christians are reborn by the Spirit of God. It also says that the Holy Spirit fills them, and they are continually strengthened and empowered to, like Jesus, overcome temptation, to live out our calling to make disciples and proclaim the good news to all creation. Pastor Victor will talk more about the Holy Spirit next week and how that gives us strength and power. But today, let me just leave you with one last thing about the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is also with us. Since, as the Bible says, Christians, we have the Holy Spirit in us, and Jesus is one with the Holy Spirit, that means Jesus is also with us. He's not just a model, a faraway example we have to follow, but through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is with us, strengthening us, giving us wisdom and direction, teaching us to become more like him. And Jesus actually now continues his mission on earth through us. Matthew 28 has something called the Great Commission, where Jesus tells us before he goes back to heaven, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them. And then he gives us a promise, and I will be with you always until the very end of the age. And this is the purpose of all the gifts God's given to us, to continually deepen our relationship, our connection to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And the next gifts we're going to talk about are actually the values of Mosaic House Church. At Mosaic House Church, we value scripture to know Jesus. We value community to belong with Jesus, and we value prayer to meet Jesus. And we're going to go through these three right now. And all these, we are called to learn to depend on Jesus through the Holy Spirit. God gives to us what he gave to Jesus. Look at the second one then. God gives us scripture to know Jesus. Jesus used the gift of scripture to understand his mission. And also, we are now called to do the same thing and to know Jesus more and more. In the four Gospels, Jesus is seen quoting the Hebrew Scriptures, what we call the Old Testament or the Tanakh, 90 times, and he referenced 70 Old Testament chapters. Jesus, he knew his Bible. And like we mentioned, Jesus used Scripture daily. We've seen Luke 4 to overcome temptation in the wilderness. And in Luke 4, when Jesus preached the sermon I just read, it was actually a reference who's quoting Isaiah 61. And again, in Luke 5, we see Jesus living out this mission as quoted from the scriptures. And Jesus, he heals and brings good news to this man with leprosy. And then he tells the man to go to the temple and to fulfill what Moses had written. And what Jesus was referring to was a book in Leviticus 14. Let me give a little bit of background. Leprosy was not what we call leprosy today, but it was kind of a broad term to cover a whole list of diseases, skin diseases. And in almost every culture, there is a designation of what is clean and unclean, what is dirty and not dirty. And in the Old Testament, God gives the Israelites a system of clean laws, purity laws, for the good of the nation. And in this system, leprosy was considered unclean. And unfortunately, because of this, people who had leprosy were kind of isolated, and they couldn't come to Jerusalem to worship God in the temple. And the religious leaders of the day, around Jesus' time, they kind of took these laws a step further and thought, you know, if this is true, God must have cursed them. They must be bad people. And so these religious leaders made more laws to oppress the lepers. For instance, you couldn't touch a man with leprosy, a person with leprosy, because you might become unclean. So the religious leaders made a law that a leper had to stay 100 paces from anybody else. That's extreme social distancing, if you know what I mean. And also, they had to yell, leper, leper, disease, unclean, whenever they came into a town. If they came into a town, they had to be put into an isolated cell. And if they ever came into Jerusalem, where the temple was, the Pharisees and the teacher of the law, they actually made it legally required for someone to beat them. You can't touch them, but you can beat them with a stick. Yikes. But in contrast to all these laws, Jesus is radically different. He comes to the leper and touches him, cleans him, and makes him whole again. And when we look at this, I was wondering, does that mean Jesus is disregarding or ignoring the Old Testament, the laws there? No, because in Matthew 5:17, Jesus says, I've come not to abolish the law, get rid of the law, but to fulfill the law. Jesus did not ignore or disregard the cleanliness laws, but rather, keeping them in mind, he touched the leper and made him clean. Instead of the leper making Jesus unclean, Jesus, the clean one, the Messiah, made this leper clean. And I believe, and this is what Scripture teaches, Jesus was fulfilling the Scriptures. Because the purpose of the Scriptures, which was hidden until Jesus came, was to point to deeper things, was to only point to Jesus, the one who fulfills the deeper truth. Jesus tells us what this means in Matthew 17:15, verse 17. He's talking to the religious leaders, and he says here in chapter 15, verse 17, talking to the Pharisee, don't you see that whatever enters your mouth goes through the stomach and out the body? In that culture, certain foods were unclean. And verse 18, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, make them unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. Jesus is saying that the things outside, food, even leprosy, these truly don't make someone unclean, but the sinful thoughts and desires that come out of our heart. Leprosy, the skin disease, does not make you unclean, but apathy, hate, inside the heart of someone who looks down on someone suffering an illness, that is what makes someone unclean. And Jesus came to reveal this deeper truth. And also, he came to show us how to be truly, truly clean. And according to Leviticus 14, the leper had to go to the temple after he was made clean to provide a sacrifice of animals, to shed the blood of animals. But now, through Jesus, instead of us sacrificing animals and using the blood of Jesus, shed on the cross, now makes us clean, cleanses us from all unrighteousness from the inside out. And the scripture also said the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead, recreates our hearts. This is my friend said, scrubs our hearts clean, and we were born as children of God. And all the scriptures, all the laws, point to Jesus, the Lamb of God, the clean one who takes away the sin of the world. And today, like Jesus, we are called to study the scriptures intently, to know Jesus more and more. Jesus says every word points in scriptures, points to him. And we do this to become like Jesus and to continue his mission of making disciples and reaching out to those, especially the forgotten and rejected in society. God gives to us what he gave to Jesus. Let's look at now the third gift. So we have the Holy Spirit, scripture to know Jesus, and now community to belong with Jesus. Kind of keeping in line with the Old Testament story, Jesus takes and creates a new community. He takes 12 disciples, which kind of represents the 12 tribes of Israel, to create this new humanity, this new type of people empowered by the Holy Spirit. And throughout Scripture, Jesus is not called just individuals, but he calls a people, a community. And if you look at Jesus' life, every aspect of his life was relational. One of the first things he did was pick 12 people, disciples, to live with them, watch them, be in community with them all the time. Jesus was with them almost 24-7, unless he went to the bathroom and prayed. And that's Jesus' life. That's who he was, because he, again, was divine, one of God, and God is a community. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they are always together, embraced and absorbed in true love. And like Israel, they were called a peculiar people. The community that Jesus calls also, they're odd. They're weird. They're different than the world. For one thing, Jesus reaches out to lepers, the outcasts, the refuse of society. Just a few verses later in chapter 5, the Pharisees complain that Jesus calls a tax collector and eats with sinners and women who are sexually exploited. And unlike the world, Jesus' community is different. He reaches out to the leper, makes them whole, and tells them the good news. Freedom for the oppressed, good news for the poor. And in this section, let me just leave you with the application. As a disciple of Jesus, I encourage you to embrace and be in community like Jesus was. I know it's hard right now. Maybe you feel like a leper, isolated, disconnected. But I encourage you to reach out to brothers and sisters in Christ to support you, to strengthen you. And also, as disciples of Jesus, I encourage you to make disciples. Reach out and invite others who don't know Jesus to become part of the community of Jesus. At Mosaic House, we do something called prayer, care, share. We pray for those whom we want to reach out to. We care for their practical needs. Right now we're doing something called Ding Dong Dash. I got a couple this month. It's been a real blessing. We care for each other, but I also care for those who want to reach out to and also finally share the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus. This might seem daunting, might seem scary, especially now, but when those times come, remember that God gives to us what he gave to Jesus. He is with you and give you everything you need. Let's look at the final gift. God gives to us the gift of prayer to meet Jesus. We see in this passage, all throughout the Bible, that Jesus was filled with, his life was filled with prayer. In verse 16 it says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And this verse, or similar to it, is recorded 40 times in the Gospel of Jesus. 40 times Jesus was continually praying to God. And the purpose of prayer is to intimately meet with Jesus. Just like God or Jesus met with his Father on a regular basis, drawing strength from him, just embracing his love. We too are now called through the Holy Spirit to meet Jesus intimately. And again, that's the purpose of the gifts. We don't just use the gifts and try to become like Jesus on our own strength, but through these gifts, especially prayer, we meet with Jesus, and through His strength and guidance, we follow His lead, we depend on Him, the Holy Spirit. We don't read Scripture like Jesus, just like Jesus, but we read Scripture to know Jesus. We don't be in community just to be like Jesus, but we can be in community to belong with Jesus, the living Messiah. And we don't pray just like Jesus, but we pray to meet Jesus, who loves us, cares for us, and His promise to give us everything we need. And prayer helps us to continue to depend on Jesus and the Holy Spirit like Jesus depended on His Father. And let me give you another application. I encourage you during this season to pray. Come to Jesus and meet Him. He loves you so much. He wants to draw closer to you. He wants you to know Him more and more. And this is for those who maybe never met Jesus before, maybe never prayed. I encourage you to pray to Him. He is reaching out to you. He loves you so much. He wants to give you wholeness, salvation, to clean you from the inside out. He wants to give you good gifts as His child. So I encourage you, if you've never done that before, reach out to Him. He wants you to know Him. He knows you already. God gives to us what He gave to Jesus. And the more we use these gifts, the more we rely on Jesus to know, to belong with, and to meet Jesus, the living Messiah. And the more that we will walk like Jesus and with Jesus in jeans. Let me end with this story. I mentioned in the beginning that I started this new job. It was scary. And I became a chaplain for those living in poverty and homelessness. And by God's grace, it was scary. It still was scary, but God gave me what I needed. And now God is working through me for His glory and praise. And also He is working through the people I am serving to make me more like a disciple of Jesus. I've been meeting so many devoted, passionate followers of Jesus in the inner city community of Edmonton. I'm so blessed. And one of the people I've met, he's from the Middle East. He's been such an encouragement to me these past 2 weeks to strengthen me, correcting me, showing me, and God has given him in my life. And I want to share one story that he told me, which kind of encapsulates all the gifts that God has given to us. My friend, he was invited to a wedding. That's a long time ago. And he knew at the wedding there'd be a lot of partying, and he decided, no, I'm not going to go. I want to follow Jesus. And after praying and reading the Bible, he realized, you know what? There's nothing in the Bible stopping me from going to a wedding. Jesus went to a wedding. And maybe God will use me there. So he went to this wedding with his family, and it was a big party. Oh my goodness, lots of crazy stuff happening. He decided, I'm going to step out for a bit. He took his kids to a park. And someone from the wedding, who was a family friend, came to him while he was in the park. And this guy was a little bit tipsy. And he is a well-known atheist. He was ardently against Christianity. Didn't want to talk about it. So my friend, he knew this, and he was talking kind of tentatively, just chit-chat. And my friend sensed the Holy Spirit urging him. Now, everybody experiences the Holy Spirit different. Some is more feelings, some is through the Scripture. I'm more through Scripture and knowledge. But my friend is more through his inner spirit. And the Holy Spirit is kind of nudging him, tell this person that Jesus loves them. And my friend's like, no way, you know who this is? He's going to beat me up. So he's trying to kind of push the thought away. And through the conversation, the feeling got stronger. Tell this person Jesus loved them. And finally, my friend's like, okay. He said, this guy, sorry, God. I can't explain it, but God wants me to tell you, Jesus loves you. And then my friend closed his eyes, he's waiting for the guy to punch him out. And he looked up, and the guy was looking at him surprised and said, you're the third person this week who's told me that. Maybe there's something to it. And my friend said, whoa, I'm glad I didn't get beat up, punched out. And through my friend's witness, this atheist became a disciple of Jesus. And he became a disciple who makes disciples. He became a church planter across the Middle East, planting churches across the countries there. And I tell you the story again to let you know, God gives to us what he gave to Jesus. Just like my friend was given the gift of the Holy Spirit, which was working through prayer, scripture, and community. A group of Christians were tasked to reaching this one person. In the same way, we have those same gifts. Gifts that God has given us so that we can continue with Jesus, his mission to proclaim his good news to all the earth and to make disciples who make disciples. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. We submit to your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you've given us, in your divine power, everything we need for a godly life. So help us, Lord, develop these gifts you've given to us by your grace and power so that we can be your witnesses, we can be your humble servants, so others may know your good news. So help us, Lord, today, be your disciples, to grow closer to you. We give our lives to you, Lord. Thank you for what you will do through us. We pray this in the gracious name of Jesus. Amen.